Good evening and welcome to the October 5th meeting of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District Board of Trustees. The board met in closed session regarding potential future litigation, and now we will resume an open session. And we'll start with a consensus on the order of business. Do we have a consensus? Like we have a consensus. And next, we have the approval of the minutes. There were some last-minute changes Mark Buckman pointed out. So we will have looking at amended minutes. Would anyone care to make more changes or approve the amended minutes? Moved by Mr. Unger and seconded by Ms. Sheffer. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And that carries 7-0. No, 6-0. I'm sorry. Walt Millar is unable to be with us tonight. He is on business. And now we are ready for our presentation by our student representatives. And tonight we have Elizabeth Schmidt standing in. And please tell us who you're replacing, Elizabeth.
I am filling in for Julie Hausman. I am Elizabeth, and I am the ASB Vice President at SLO High. SLO High has been very busy lately. We started off on September 29th. We had a Club Awareness Day, where all the different clubs had the opportunity to set up in our quad, and this was a lunchtime activity to help involve, bring in more involvement and show the school about all the different clubs we offer. Today and tomorrow, we will be doing our CASI makeup testing for seniors. And then in about 2 weeks, we have a handful of students traveling to the FFA National Convention in Indianapolis, Indiana, and they will be touring New York and Washington, D.C. before this conference. And next, we have our homecoming week, which is October 25th through the 29th. We will hold our annual rally, skit performances, and parade, and we will be playing a Tascadero in our football game.
And recently, our school's application for Model Continuation High School award was accepted. A committee will be visiting our school on November 2nd, and it will be meeting with staff, parents, and students, and district representatives to validate the application. We should hear the final decision regarding the award by January. And a new aspect to Pacific Beach program this year is the creation of a student government organization. We have 8 students who have been elected to student government, and we will play a role in shaping the culture and direction of Pacific Beach. One of the first acts, we will be meeting with the director of San Luis Obispo's Parks and Recreation Department tomorrow to discuss opportunities to raise funds for the new skate park in San Luis. And then lastly, on September the 11th, PB students in Terry Jacobson's art class participated in Aymanari Street Painting Festival, and 10 students participated in the drawing to our picture. And it's up there.
That's fantastic. Excellent job, thank Sandra. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we do have a request to speak. We have, this is the open correspondence. I'm sorry, we needed to do correspondence, and then, sorry, Bob. And do we have any correspondence? I guess we do not. Beg your pardon? Sandra and Elizabeth, you guys know that you can leave if you need to go home and tackle that homework. But thank you very much for being here tonight, and drive safely. Seeing no correspondence, Bob, and anyone else who would like to speak, please know that you can speak after Mr. Shanbrum.
Thank you. I'm Bob Shanbrum. Live in Los Osos. And I recently had the opportunity to spend some time with Dr. Prater, and I want to tell you how much I appreciate what a fine job you all have done. I think you've chosen an excellent superintendent to guide the school district through the coming years. And I also want to tell you what a wonderful experience my daughter's having at Laguna Middle School. There's so much talk about test scores and things like that, but I want to tell you that not only did her test scores improve, but science there was taught like a quest for truth and an appreciation of creation. And the history was the joy of speculation, and English was like a search for your own true voice. And she even actually started enjoying mathematics last year. So I'm very happy in every way possible with the experience at the middle school. And I just want to say to any parents who may be listening that the superintendent strikes me as a very open and sharp listener. And anybody, I think it's time for parents to participate a little bit more, and I think they'll find his door wide open and his ears also wide open to any input the parents might have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shambrom. It's very nice to hear. Kudos. We appreciate that. And I'm glad your daughter's having a good experience in the middle school. And we move on to our superintendent updates. And first, the budget update. From Mr. Miller.
Thank you very much. Well, as you may have heard, there's a rumor out there that the big five, the legislative leaders from both parties in the governor's office, have put together a budget framework and filled in some of the details. Much of it is still being embargoed. It's a rather unique situation. Usually, if we'd gotten this far, then people would have heard some of the details that have come out of it. But what's going to end up happening is the legislature will come back to Sacramento tomorrow for briefings. They're scheduling a vote for Thursday. Among the issues for the agreement that must be tackled is whether and how to deal with pension reform and the future of tax breaks. Specific details regarding the level of funding for Prop 98 are yet to emerge. But what has emerged is some rumors that there's going to be a suspension of Prop 98. And with the suspension of Prop 98, it could mean that the state is planning on taking away additional dollars below the floor of educational funding, and then we'll hold themselves not responsible to pay it back. There's also some deals that could be worked out that would allow for the suspension of Prop 98 and at the same time require a payback, $7.5 billion. So there's some $4.5 billion worth of cuts, probably on the back of education, but we'll wait to see what happens with that. Democrats agreed to suspend the state's constitutional guarantee for school funding, but they softened the blow to education by relying on accounting shifts and allowing districts to borrow money. Isn't that nice? We can go out and replace the money they stole from us by borrowing from somebody at a greater interest rate than we ever would have had to pay in the first place. Oh, man, such thinking. Meanwhile, Republican legislative leaders will say that they held the line against tax hikes, the tax deduction notwithstanding. The tax deduction they're talking about is there's an agreement for a two-year extension of the corporate tax increase that was due to sunset this year. So they apparently have agreed to extend that for 2 years. And they will point out that they blocked Democratic plans to tax oil production and increase vehicle and income taxes in exchange for lowering sales taxes. So at the end of the day, it's almost a predictable outcome. It's a political settlement, not a financial settlement. It has aspects which are going to be onerous to certain and beneficial to others. There were some specialized tax breaks included in this. The rumor is that the Humboldt Redwood Company is going to get some really nice tax breaks out of the state budget. I have no idea why, but maybe they know somebody we don't know. So we'll just have to watch carefully as this plays out for the rest of the week, and we'll get details probably tomorrow or Thursday at the latest.
So, Russell, I'm just curious. The proposal for districts to be able to borrow money, my understanding is that if they use TRANS, which is a method of borrowing money, districts that are either in negative or qualified aren't going to be able to borrow that money. Is that true?
That's true.
So there's going to be difficulty with this. So really what he's saying is they're only going to cut off one of our arms and one of our legs instead of both of our arms, both of our legs, and our eyes, right? Is that kind of where it's at?
That's probably about as good as it's going to get for us next year. I agree with you. I don't know what it's going to do, but it's not going to be good.
Is there any talk about effects that we might see on our basic aid status?
No.
We're not hearing any of those rumors at this point.
We're such a small little segment. Eventually, it'll just come out of the department. Not to us, but to the overall Department of Finance will make a decision and let us know what it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't know.
Mr. Miller, is there anything that we need to know about the federal money that might be
the jobs money?
Way? Yes, the jobs money.
No. It's in. I mean, we've been apportioned our money, so I would tell you that we could bank on that money coming in. What staff is doing now is they're looking at different proposals that might be best way to present it to the board for ratification and use. But at the moment, it just happened last week, and we'll see what happens.
And that amount is $1.1 million?
Well, we're going to get $1.2 million in total, but we're only going to get 90% of it, or $1,066,000, I think, is the amount that's been apportioned to us right now. The state's withholding a certain amount. That fills me with great trepidation, but I don't know what we can do about it because they can, so they're going to, and hopefully we'll get the rest of the money before the end of this school year.
Okay. Thank you. And moving on to the Special Education Local Plan Area, SELPA, Community Committee Update by Jackie Kirk-Martinez. Can you hear me now?
Great. Good evening, and thank you. Tonight I am presenting a presentation for the SELPA Special Education Local Plan Area and Community Advisory Committee. And I am going backwards because it looks like it started early. This committee is made up of members from districts, parents of students with special needs, and community members at large. And each district, including the County Office of Education, has representation of the on the council as a board, and they treat it as a board. The CAC, as it is also known as, helps to bring families, community members, districts all together so they have open communication. They help to develop a relationship together and problem solve. There's many things in our county-wide, statewide, and at the federal level that they need to problem solve together. And so they do it have fundraisers throughout the county, and they have fundraisers because they have a scholarship fund now for those who leave our district throughout the county, either with a diploma or with a certificate of completion. Those are just some of the things that they do. They also go to Legislation Day, Ledge Day, and they meet with legislators on some hot topics for students with special needs. And they advocate and they talk with the different legislators. They also foster disability awareness. So I'd like you to sit back and enjoy this video clip that is not made by our district, but it represents our district.
Along the way, time to finish what you've begun. Have the faith, you're the one.
You're the one.
Throw your hat high up to the sun. Now you face your greatest test. Use the lessons that you've learned. Clear. you were a young man. You kept your eye on the master plan to reach for the top and touch the sky. It's your destiny to spread your wings and fly. Trust your heart and you'll survive. Follow your dreams, never let them die. It's your destiny to spread your wings and fly.
You can do it if you really try.
Spread your wings.
Spread your wings and learn to fly.
Learn to fly.
So to wrap it up, we have two representatives, Michelle Ralzon, and she is a parent of a student with special needs. Both of her children go to Baywood Elementary. And then also Naomi Blakely is one of our program specialists in our district. You'll see there, far right, you might recognize somebody, Elise Unger. She's also in our district. They're collaborating and working with teachers for the students. You'll see Naomi's name in the reappointment for CAC later in the board meeting agenda. So I just wanted to present what the CAC does for us in our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie, and thank you for sharing that video. That really brings it to life. And next, under the superintendent's updates, we have the superintendent's blog. Oh, hello.
Hello.
Amelia.
Good evening. My name is Amelia Samoes. I'm the Director of Information Services and Technology, and I'm really delighted to be here this evening to share some information with you. This isn't an action item. We're sharing information about an online tool that will help us to improve communication through technology. I'm going to give Kim the, so I can still hold my notes. Oh, you're right. Yeah. Okay. So we're in the process of creating a superintendent's blog. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what a blog is. And this site or this blog is going to be a collaborative type of blog. Somebody is simply reporting on information, perhaps. And I have an example of a blog that is created and written by a superintendent in Massachusetts. And here she's reporting, if you scroll down a little bit. This is her first year as a superintendent of this school district, and she is reporting on her visits to the school. So you can see she has photos on there as well. And she's talking about what she's seeing in the classrooms and at the various schools. Okay, and she's not taking comments from the public. She's simply reporting out what she sees, which is very informative. It's a way of sharing with parents and the community what's happening in our schools. Okay, so the next type of blog is more of a two-way communication where the blog would invite comments from the public. Okay, and most bloggers do invite comments so that there is an exchange of ideas. And this example comes from a district in Saline, Michigan, where the superintendent is inviting comments from the public, and he's also replying to the comments that the community folks and parents are posting. The comments are moderated so that only the comments that are pertinent to the topic at hand are allowed on the site.
So you can see the journey I would be on if I entered this two-way conversation. But in this particular one that Amelia found out of Saline, Michigan, which is a neighboring town to Ann Arbor, Michigan, where I was born and grew up for half my life. And so what this blog does is it invites sort of that dialogue with the community that we see sometimes in our newspaper, in the editorial, but it's about. It looks to me like he posts every 3 or 4 days and responds, and so you can see the ongoing conversations regarding, in this particular case, a pretty contentious issue around
non-discrimination.
Yeah, non-discrimination. Mm-hmm. So it invited some interesting conversations, and I thought it was handled well.
Okay, so the next type of blog then that you might see is one that would include audio podcasts or little video clips in addition to that dialogue that's going on with the community. And this superintendent is in Connecticut. Is that the first link or the second? The first one? Okay, we can't see that on the screen for some reason, but you can go to the August. Try that. Yeah, so their website's having a little trouble, so that's okay. But let's go to the video that's the next on that slide, and then you can see an example of the superintendent herself doing a little video clip.
Welcome back. Today I'd like to talk with you about the strategic plan for Stonington Public Schools. Earlier this year, we issued an invitation to the community and asked, if Stonington Public Schools were to be destroyed, what is it that you would want for your children's schools and their community? Many of you participated. You sent us emails, you participated in focus groups. We took all of that information together with our partner facilitators from LEARN and created a strategic plan for 2010 through 2015. This plan has three critical components. The first component of the plan indicates that Stonington Public Schools will have students who are knowledgeable, problem-solving, and productive citizens, that we will integrate educational tools and technology in our instruction, and that we'll continue to develop centers of excellence and innovation. Stonington Public Schools will continue our work with the meta processes, which means that we will ask students to demonstrate creativity, innovation, reasoning, inquiry, and organization throughout their learning process. We will also cultivate collaboration opportunities among students and adults. The second component of the plan indicates that Stonington Public Schools will have educational environments with structures to support collaboration, personalized learning, and innovative instruction. This will mean our need to examine our structure in terms of providing better capacity building and collaboration and to enhance equity and student opportunities towards achievement. We will work to match professional development with talent to benefit students and our community of learners, and we will continue to focus instruction and assessment on our plan called Students Learn Best When. Finally, the third component of the strategic plan is all about community integration within the educational environment. We certainly have many partnerships and consortia that exist now.
Yeah, well, you know, the intent of this really is to share with you how other superintendents, other districts are throughout the country are reaching out using technology to communicate more effectively. And I just feel like we have untapped potential to communicate more effectively and to reach out in partnership with our community so they understand where we're coming from and we have an opportunity to understand where they're coming from. And I think at the end of the day, it'll improve how we function. And so the point of this really is to try to find alternative or improved ways of communicating beyond the traditional newsletter in the folder on Friday that we've done and done well. And I'm thankful for Amelia for assisting me and allowing for there to be some conversation around alternative ways. So the video at the end with the superintendent from Connecticut is inspiring on some levels because we are in a digital society, though not all people within our community have access, many do. And and I just think it has great potential, and I would like to explore that and have to take great consideration over my time as well, but I think it may be time well spent if I do it well.
Okay, so our next steps would be then to expand upon the collaborative Moodle site that we've already set up a site for principals on Moodle. Some of you know about the ETC portal that has Moodle, which is a tool that we have many teachers using in our district. And we've recently set up a site then for our principals to collaborate online as well. So we're reaching out to principals, asking them for input, ideas, and they've responded. And there's a great conversation going on that's an ongoing conversation. And I'm sure Eric will share more about that as time goes on.
And I know you'll have some questions regarding the superintendent's blog and all the potential that may have, concerns and positive. But I just wanted tonight was just really a way to bring it to you as a possibility before I do anything official. There's still quite a lot of consideration to be done. This internal piece that we're working on also will include Rick Robinette and Russell Miller, the idea of doing an internal communication blog, if you will, with staff. So certificated, classified, SEIU, the whole group, to have an internal conversation about what's working, what's not working, and what we can do better is an important piece. And so that's I want you to understand there's an internal piece and an external piece that I'm working on.
So the internal piece could be a blog for staff, perhaps. Russell or Rick could interact with staff, maybe put out topics of interest, get input on budget ideas, perhaps, or curriculum ideas. We'll want to get input on teachers on perhaps the math program if we're looking at focusing on what's working and what isn't, and get ideas from teachers as well. So these tools are wonderful ways of getting input and having that dialogue on an ongoing basis. So that's all I have, and if you have any questions, I'll be happy to respond. And
I believe Ms. Sheffer had the first question.
I understand that this is an ongoing beginning. We're in the beginning stages, and it sounds as though you're considering at some point using this as an opportunity to communicate with families. And I would just hope that we keep in mind that we still have families in our district who don't have computers at home, and we need to have all kind of reach them in all possible ways, including the old-fashioned newsletter in the backpack, perhaps. I want to make sure that we don't leave anybody out as we go through this process. But it's exciting.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to put down that part of it. I think it's an exciting way to communicate with a lot of opportunities.
Ellen, good point well taken. We actually did discuss that very issue today, and one of the things that we are looking at is identifying our population, of course, and how they receive communication. There's tools we have that we really aren't utilizing
to access. So there are other opportunities, even though they may not have internet connectivity at home. So,
thank you, Mr. Unger.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank all the school sites that have been putting out their newsletters electronically. I think it saves money and it gets things out pretty quickly. I especially want to draw everybody's attention, if you haven't seen it, to the Bishop Peak Teach electronic newsletter, which I find to be really informative and quite attractive as well. So to Mr. Block and the folks that are putting it together, it's really great.
Janet Crabb, I believe,
yep, Janet
is
Crabb.
Responsible for that. Mr. Angel?
I like the idea. I think one of the things we could do to help our parents who are maybe not having a computer at home, this cart before the horse, of course, is have our, like you said, have our labs open, but also have some forums with our DLAC and ELAC and other parent nights that we say, hey, this is how we use our computer, and it's not just for the blogs, but for the PowerSchool and all the other stuff that our parents are using. Just let them know that they can have access when they pick up their kid or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Dr. Prater, I'd just like to add that I think your accessibility is admirable, and you do it both on a personal level, from what we've heard here tonight, to the public, and also in this way. It's a very efficient way, really, for you to obtain a lot of diverse input, and I appreciate that you're dragging us into the future. Thank you. We'll be twittering you about that later. Okay, thank you very much, Amelia.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
And we have the Regional Occupation Program report from our own board member, Mr. Buckman.
Trustee Buckman, would you like to go?
Thanks. Just as a brief, I'm extremely excited tonight about the ROP report. And just as a quick recap, ROP is a program that offers probably 50 to 60 classes throughout the county that all qualify for college transfer, so they're part of the A to G program, but these programs are a lot more hands-on and a lot more career-oriented, and it appeals to many of the students, and it is something that keeps the students in contact with the school and makes them excited to come to school each day. It's a great program. At our last meeting, we went over the goals for the year. I'm going to go through those really fast because there's one I really want to get to. More promotion to the program, concentrated look at the healthcare service industry, an increase in workplace learning so that the students are not spending time just in the classroom, but are also spending times at a hospital or in a lawyer's office or at a mechanics auto mechanic shop. We'd like to increase the number of newsletters and brochures, and I'm going to hand out newsletters to the board in just a second. In order to do some of the promotion that we're talking about, Paso Robles High School has a video production program. They offered to do a video, and what happened at this meeting is each of the other districts said, well, we have similar programs, and so all of the videos about some of their programs will be fed to Paso Robles High School, and then we should have a local DVD or hopefully streaming video about ROP in this county. So that's going to be exciting. But the most exciting thing that happened is, as we looked at the trends in future employment, we all saw that healthcare is going to be the largest growth industry or the largest growth career in the United States. And we would have to start 4 new classes at each of the districts, very expensive, no money to do that. And the group came up with a concept that's, it would make us the first ROP in the state to offer an online class. And so we're looking into that. We've got a committee that's looking, a community committee that's looking into that right now. We would offer the healthcare programs, the healthcare classes online. There has to be some hands-on work, and students then would go to their local hospitals, to other medical facilities, and do the hands-on work and get full credit for this class. And it means that a student in Napomo and a student in Paso Robles, San Luis, and on the coast would all be able to participate in this class. So we're really excited. We're kind of trying to keep it under our hat. But if we pull this off, we will be the first ROP in the state to have an online program. So with that, I'm going to pass out these wonderful ROP pins for each of our board members and staff. And then later on, I'll give you all some more newsletter paper stuff. I'm very excited about what's happening at the ROP.
That is exciting. That's a terrific report. And the online sounds like a great way to go. And I owe an apology to Dr. Prater. I just realized that I just totally rolled right over all of your updates, and that was supposed to be your territory. Are you okay? Okay. Would you like to take the resolution?
Yeah. Mr. Miller, this is one of the programs that many districts have taken a swipe at and have used this money and put it into the general fund to help balance. And I'm really proud that this district was able to continue to stay within the textbook adoption cycle. So congratulations.
Thank you. Any further discussion? This is a roll call vote. Right, Kim?
Mr. Angel?
Aye.
Mr. Buckman?
Aye.
Dr. Eisenbrath Rogers?
Aye.
Mrs. Roger?
Aye.
Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Mrs. Sheffer?
Yes.
Passes 6-0.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rita. And now we have the action consent agenda. Please let me know if you'd like to pull any of these items. Number 2, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. Number 3, acceptance of donations. Number 4, disposition of surplus property. Number 5, approval of furniture and equipment requests. Number 6, approval of purchase orders. Number 7, approval of warrants and payroll. Number 8, reappointment to San Luis Obispo Special Education Local Plan Area SELPA Community Advisory Committee. Pulling number 8. And number 9, approval of school-connected organizations. Mr. Angel?
Move for approval of 2 through 7 and 9.
And I'll second.
Ms. Rogers is the second. Ellen, did you have something you'd like to say?
All I wanted to do was take a brief opportunity to recognize Naomi Blakely with her continued longstanding and continuous service to our district in many areas and in the area of serving on the SELPA, and just express how much we appreciate her work and contributions to our district. And with that, I would move for acceptance of item 8, the reappointment to the San Luis Obispo Special Education Local Plan Area Community Advisory Committee.
And I would like to second that, and I'd also like to just second your glowing comments about Naomi, who's also recognized as a statewide leader in special education.
So we should still, Mr. Buckman is pointing out to me, we will first vote on items 1 through 7 and number 9, and then vote separately on item number 8. So all in favor of approval of items 1 through 7 and number 9?
Aye.
Aye. And all in favor of item number 8? We had the motion separately. So, and all in favor of item number 8?
Yes.
Aye.
Aye. That's unanimous. Thank you, Mr. Buckman. And on action on consent issues, we've done that. And we have advanced agenda. Any items for advanced agenda? Mr. Buckley? Mr. Ainge?
I asked for an advanced agenda item at the last meeting and had also suggested that we could do it. Rather than taking it as a second meeting, suggested that we refer to staff. The item basically revolved around stories that were in the Tribune and the families that we know that are going through tough times in our community, and seeing if we could offer classes through the adult ed that would make life for transitioning or make searches for careers or actually for career changes available. So, unfortunately, I didn't ask for the vote or ask for consensus. So, I'd like to do that tonight if it's possible. I don't really know whether we need to bring this back as an advanced agenda item or whether we just need to ask staff to take care of this, to start looking into this.
So that's the question: is this a direction to staff, or is this an item that we want to vote on? Chris?
I would suggest bringing it back to staff because one thing I would like to know specifically is what the process is for developing courses for adult ed. And I think that's an important piece of whatever would be recommended for this. So I think if we started there and then an understanding of that, and then what it would take to develop other courses. So that would be my caveat to supporting that.
I would agree with that. Is that acceptable to you, Mr. Buckman?
Great idea. Thank you.
Dr. Prater?
Clarifying question. So as a starting point, you'd like us to identify a process for developing adult education courses specific to transition into the workplace?
Well, I think that, first of all, I'd be interested in learning about how we actually develop courses or how courses are developed for that, and then when there are district courses.
The first one, the Romero bill, I want to see what our board policy is for inter-district transfers and maybe refine that given what may affect our district. And so I just probably would like to see staff report to us on our transfer policies on that.
Mr. Miller.
One of the issues that you're going to get really soon as we develop the work on it is a refinement of our inter-district transfer agreement process and policies because of the Romero bill. Okay. It's a little bit early yet, right. because we're waiting on CSBA to come out with some recommended policies that we can kind of co-opt for our uses and refine for the particular purposes, and they haven't yet done that, unless Chris has got some new information.
Well, what I know about the Romero bill is that it's so flawed that I don't think anybody's really sure of how it needs to be implemented right now, especially in regards to inter-district transfers. Specifically, I think issues that we would need to be concerned about are special education and transportation, and who's going to be responsible for transportation costs. So I think those are things that they need to call out about that. I've got to say I have some very serious concerns about the Romero bill, and I'd like to see how it ultimately plays out in the legislature, but also I have some concerns about, as a basic aid school district, are there going to be special things that we need to be concerned about or consider?
Oh, yes. It sounds like there is.
And then I also wonder, given, you know, it's kind of a funny thing, but given, in spite of our stellar, pretty much stellar test scores that we're seeing, whether because we have schools that are in program improvement, whether, you know, how that's going to play in intra-district as well. And
it's a big,
those are all things that it's going to be a huge, huge, ugly deal.
Up and down the state, the confusion about the Romero bill is extreme. And that's why most people are waiting for some recommendations to come out of CSBA or out of the legislature itself to refine the process so it's more manageable, more understandable, and better for kids than it currently is in its newest rendition.
We can wait off on that.
So if you have patience, we'll get there.
I absolutely have patience on that. I want to make sure we're good in that one. And the second one is with the ACLU attacking schools asking for money, I want to see where we're at in some of the stuff we send home with athletics and camp and maybe some type of audit our fee programs, I guess. Not audit, that's a strong word, but look at and see what are we asking our parents to pay and how are we asking it to pay it to make sure we're okay.
One of the issues Phil's talking about is that up and down the state with the funding cuts, 23% for revenue limit districts, in order to keep programs extracurricular and even in the curriculum programs alive, they're charging fees to students for basically participation. The ACLU is attacking that as a methodology to make parents pay for what is ostensibly a free and appropriate education. And so what we have in our district aren't necessarily participation fees as much as you would get some solicitation for donations. And we're very careful. I think that we'll do that for you. There's no question it's an item of interest. But I think when Rick comes back, he'll be able to answer this better, and it's that our programs are looked at every year, what they ask from parents, and so far we've been containing it with a very narrow band of donations into boosters clubs or music programs or whatever the case may be.
It seems like they do a lot of that, and I just want to make sure district-wide, you know, we are
we'll do
protected.
That. We can do that.
If that's okay with them.
Hello, Marilyn.
Hi. Back to Romero. Do we know when we might receive the final list of 1,000?
Actually not. We were expecting it 2 weeks ago. There has been no new information in the last 2 weeks about when they're going to refine that list. The list came out. They found out it was flawed. There was supposedly 1,000 of the lowest performing schools in the state on that list, and there were at least 16 of them that had APIs in excess of 800. And
one of which would be our Hawthorne School.
Yes. And so they took a second look at it, but they haven't come back out with a final revised list.
Okay, so when the list is generated, that would be the trigger for the Romero notifications?
Actually, yes. Yes, exactly right. The notification comes first, and then a lot of other things fall into place after that.
On that note, Superintendent North County Superintendent sat on the AXA body of some kind that reviewed the Romero bill, and she told us in the Lozano Smith workshop that there's a waiver application that you can fill out. So
that's it for advanced agenda. No one else has anything they'd like to request, and so we will move on then to reports by board members. And Ellen.
Last week I visited Del Mar Elementary School, and it was a wonderful experience. Up till my visit, my sole visits to that campus had been to attend board meetings, so it was nice to be there in the daytime. Janet Gould gave me a wonderful tour of nearly every classroom in the school, and one of the things that impressed me the most was seeing the technology that we have, and almost every teacher in every classroom as I walked through was using technology in one way or the other. And that was really wonderful to watch, to see the way they have. And I was unfamiliar with the Mobies, with the little handheld things where they could walk around the classroom, interact with the students, write on a pad, and it would show up rather than being tied to the computer. They were completely engaged with the classroom and the students and using technology all at the same time, and seeing that in action was so much more impressive than hearing about it or reading about it or looking at it. And it was wonderful. It was a great experience. I was very impressed. So that was my school visit last week. So thank you, Del Mar, for a wonderful visit.
Thank you, Mrs. Sheffer and Mr. Unger.
Yeah. I got to go to the Morrilby High San Luis football game, and for some folks it was a happy game, and for other folks it wasn't quite so happy. I was on the Morrilby side, so I wasn't quite as happy as I could have been, but it's always nice to see both the teams getting out there and playing really hard. I had lunch at Hawthorne yesterday with the and I got some really nice conversation going with teachers. One of the things that I consistently heard from the teachers was their concern about the interruptions to their academic day for certain things. And I've shared that with Dr. Prater, and that's something that we may as a board want to talk about at some point. But I will say that all of the teachers at Hawthorne have a really strong commitment to the education of their students. And when we talk about Hawthorne, you know, we're talking about a school with, I believe, about 65% free and reduced lunch. And to a teacher, they talked about student achievement and wanting the very, very best for their students. And it was really a really great conversation that I had with them. I'm kind of hearing some rumblings from one of the other sites about classroom staff and support for students with severe diabetes and allergies. So that may be something that we start hearing about too. The last thing is that I won't be able to attend the next board meeting. I've been invited to be on a WASC accreditation team, and my accreditation is going to be that 3 days, so the 17th through the 20th, and it should be quite an interesting experience. So I'll miss all you guys in about 2 weeks. But I will be coming to the expulsions.
Thank you, Chris. That's an unusual school that you're going to be doing the accreditation.
It is going to be a very unusual school. I'm not supposed to really talk about it, but you're right. It should be the WASC accreditation process looks at some pretty interesting things. They look at school leadership, school governance, curriculum, accountability, and assessment. And I think no matter where you go, they look at the same things. And so for me, it will be a great thing just to know what the process is and what specific things to look at. And then, of course, when we hear that places like Pacific Beach are going to be model high schools, and I bet you that a lot of what they had to do to get to be a model high school reflected what kinds of things they have to do for their WASC accreditation. That really says so much about our schools. And I think each of our schools had clear six-year accreditations. I think San Luis High and Morro Bay High School did. So it's very, you know, it really says a lot about our schools because those clear 6 years are really hard to get.
I think, Mark, you are next, and then Marilyn.
Okay, thank you. I actually just got back from attending the state PTA Board of Managers meeting, and it was very exciting. We were brought up to date on the state budget, and I unfortunately got appointed to another committee, but I think it's good. The state PTA is looking at ways to create advocates for art education and do that by first teaching them to be advocates because they already support the arts. So it's got a little bit to go, but I think it's important that we were there and were seen. I'd also like to just take this opportunity. The San Luis Obispo Child Abuse Prevention Council, along with 4-H, United Way, the County Office of Education, and the Community Action Partnership, and now the County PTA, will be sponsoring a forum on child abuse and cyberbullying and bullying in the schools. This will be a film that's evidently extremely moving. The event is Thursday, October 14th. It starts at 8:45 a.m. and ends at 10:30 a.m. On that Thursday. So the county PTA has stepped in and will be also offering this on Monday the 15th, starting at 6:30 p.m. at the County Office of Education, and it's evidently a film that'll move you to tears, so I think it's really valuable that everybody pay attention to this because it's, I think it's much more rampant on our campuses than we realize. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Buckman. And Ms. Rogers.
Thank you.
Roger, sorry. Sorry, which one of us I was
we talking. Have blurred boundaries. Well, I'm not going to belabor this because we're all taking a lot of time with our visits. I went to Los Ranchos. I had the opportunity to see Mr. Evans, Tony Evans, who's in the audience, giving a reading recovery lesson, which was interesting to me, with a little first grader, and toured the school. I also went to Hawthorne and talked to Kurt Collins there, talked to a number of teachers, and it's just fabulous that Hawthorne School is its own community. I mean, everyone is so invested in that school, the staff, the administration, the parents, and in really trying to raise the bar for the children there. And teachers are very excited about the movement that their students are making. So that was an inspiring visit. I also went to Monarch Grove, toured the school there, and spent some time in the teacher's lunchroom discussing issues with teachers, one of which is a contractual issue that I'll be bringing up with Dr. Prater, that maybe it's something that we could discuss when negotiations roll around again. So I've been out and about, and that's my report.
Oh, and Mr. Angel.
Go last, Sarah. Well, you... I'd like to thank Jackie for taking me to the County Office of Education to see the medically fragile class. But she also, while there, I saw a lot of good stuff going on. A very busy teacher, Will, right? Very busy. Hands full, but doing a great job in there. And then she also took me upstairs to San Luis Coastal's special day class. Am I saying that right? Okay. And
just a lot of great things I got to witness at the high school there. And then I would like to formally invite all board members to the Pacheco Fiesta de Arte, which is October 16th from 1 to 4:30. Taco lunches are taken care of. If you're interested, get back to me, and I'll make sure your taco lunches are taken care of.
You are a shameless promoter of Pacheco School.
I am, but it's their first year of the auction, and Del Mar gave us the binder on Del Mar's PTA gave us the binder on how to run an auction, and so we just want it to be as good as Del Mar's, or just a fraction as good, you know, like a 9/10 fraction as good. But Pacheco is not the only school doing a lot of events. I believe tomorrow is Morro Bay's. I'm going to attend Morro Bay High's carnival at lunch. And then Friday is the Bishop's Peak Haunted House Carnival as well. So I'll be attending those.
Do you want to talk about our visit from the Senator?
Oh, I do. Dr. Prater and I got to meet with Senator Blakeslee, newly appointed, and I think they got off on the right foot. And then in the evening, Sam switched gears, I think, was less upfront with at the county office. Sam was less upfront with how he's going to work with education. So
I think you're being a little too modest there, Mr. Angel. I think you had a great deal more to do with making that meeting happen, and we appreciate that. Thank you. And I would just like to take just a moment to commend Morro Bay High School Band and Choir and Los Osos Middle School Band and Choir for being asked to participate in the Bravo celebration at the PAC, which speaks to their the quality of that program at both schools. And also to point out that in Parade Magazine this week, I don't know how many of you saw this, but it referred to San Luis Obispo as Happy Town USA, where we have we are number one for mental health in the country, and they attributed that to...
The board had requested additional time to look into a couple of details and satisfy themselves about some of the actions of the medically fragile class. And staff is going to strongly support the delivery of the medically fragile instructional program from within our own framework, and there are several reasons for that, and I'll just go through them. It's a repetition of what we've talked about before, but first, we believe that the program delivered in our district to our district students by our district's employees will be a more cost-effective program, resulting in more resources being available to the students. Second, we believe that by moving forward now, we will be able to access the most qualified and essential staff that, as time passes, may not be available. Third, we believe that maintaining and monitoring a program quality from within our own systems is the best methodology for guaranteeing a quality program for our students. And fourth, we believe the continuity of services from within our own framework provides the safe and nurturing environment these students need and deserve. Turn it over to Jackie if you have any statements.
Well, I'm just available for questions.
Yeah, prepared to answer any questions or concerns you guys might have.
Does anyone have a question? Ms. Sheffer?
I'd just like to make a remark that after having looked at this, and I spoke briefly with Russell a couple of weeks ago, but that I am in agreement with our doing this. I think that... I think as Russell and I discussed, our district is very fortunate to have the resources to have long arms and embrace all our students effectively and provide them the resources and the services that they need and they deserve. And we're fortunate to be in such to have the talent that we have to be able to do that, to serve these children.
Thank you, Ms. Sheffer. Ms. Roger.
Yeah, I wanted to hold off two additional weeks before making a decision on this because I needed to satisfy myself about some things. I'm comfortable with taking the medically fragile class from the county to San Luis Coastal, but I have one reservation that I would like to be addressed, and that is that I really feel that the class should have a full-time RN.
If that's what the students require and the board's direction, we will definitely take this year to be looking at all of those options and your recommendation, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Buckman.
Thanks. Jackie, I want to thank you for talking with me today after, I guess, a harried phone call with an attorney. So you were very calm by the time you got to me, so that was good. I want to second Maryland's request to have an RN present. It's my understanding that currently there's an RN in the room, and I don't know if William thinks that's necessary, but it seems like it's the best thing. Some of these students, as I understand it, are very, very fragile medically. I've had the opportunity in the past when I worked at the County Office of Education to visit all three sites, the South County and the North County. My impression was, and things may have changed, was that the class here in San Luis Obispo was not handling quite the severe cases that the North County and South County were. So getting to the actual question, if the number of students that were more severely fragile were to come to the San Luis, come to our program, is the staff is the staff prepared to take on the more severely students?
Thank you for asking that question. We talked on the phone, yes. And I, too, worked with you, Mr. Buckman, at the County Office of Education, so I also know the North and South County classes of what they were. I don't know about it right now. I do collaborate and would collaborate with William Walters if he so chooses to join us with our district. And we would look at the specific needs each year, as we do with any of our classes, particularly looking at the medical needs for those students. So if our class does have students with more challenging needs in the medical arena, we would address that. In the North and South County, as the classes increase and decrease, they adjust their staffing as well. So we would do the same.
And thank you.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes,
but thank you for the visit again. I had reservations only because Marilyn asked to wait a couple weeks, and I wanted to see what she, you know, I didn't ask her directly. I just wanted to see what she was seeing, and so I went in and met with Russell. Thank you for your time and showing me a whole.
Miss Roger.
Okay. Let's see. I'll move approval of item 13, transfer of County Office of Education Services to San Luis Coastal. And although it doesn't say so here, you know, maybe I should add the medically fragile class at San Luis Obispo High School.
I would second that.
A motion by Ms. Roger and second by Ms. Sheffer. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous with missing one vote. No, two, I'm sorry, with two votes, one abstaining and one absent. And with that, we've concluded our agenda. As a late birthday gift to Mr. Miller, we will be adjourning before 8:30. I think that's some kind of record.
Thank you.
Thank you all for joining us.